Kyle Rittenhouse is acquitted on all charges. White privilege begins to trend on Twitter, and a teacher recruits kids into LGBT clubs. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. So if you haven't already heard the biggest news of the day, and that's kind of what I've been actually holding the show off for a little bit, because I knew it was coming soon. I knew that they'd probably try to get it in by Friday, and we now have it. The actual verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. He has been acquitted on all charges. Here's a clip of that to show you what a little bit of that sounded like.
The defendant will rise, face the jury, and hearken to its verdicts.
Versus Kyle Rittenhouse. As to the first count of the information, Joseph Rosenbaum, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the second count of the information, Richard McGinnis, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the third count of the information, unknown male, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the fourth count of the information, Anthony Huber, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty. As to the fifth count of the information, Gage Grosskreutz, we the jury find the defendant Kyle H. Rittenhouse not guilty.
Members of the jury, are these your unanimous verdicts? Is there anyone who does not agree with the verdicts as read? Would you wish the jury pulled? Okay, folks, your job is done, and we started just about 3 weeks ago, and
So I'll go from there because the judge starts talking about things. But if you're listening to this only on the audio, what you'll actually see in the clip is him literally kind of collapse as he's just obviously just kind of emotional and kind of awestruck at what's really happening there. So acquitted on all charges. If you remember, they had like five different charges levied against him. None of them made any sense. We've seen the jury deliberate for 3 days now. It was taking so long. We were just kind of waiting. And then we got a report as well that MSNBC was apparently having one of their journalists follow the jury bus to the actual courtroom, I'm assuming in an attempt to actually find out who it was that was on the jury. So the judge actually kind of at the last minute had to ban MSNBC from the courtroom. Here's a clip of that actually taking place here.
A person who identified himself as James G. Morrison and who claimed that he was a producer with NBC News, employed for MSNBC, and under the supervision of a person, what's going on?
Yeah,
oh, okay. Under the supervision of someone named Irene Bayan in New York, for MSNBC, the police, when they stopped him because he was following at a distance of about a block and went through a red light, pulled him over and inquired of him what was going on, and he gave that information and stated that he had been instructed by Ms. Bayan in New York to follow the jury bus. The matter is under further investigation at this point, and the media has asked questions about it. That's the latest I have. And he was ticketed for violating a traffic control signal. He's not here today from what I'm told. And I have instructed that no one from MSNBC News will be permitted in this building for the duration of this trial. This is a very serious matter, and I don't know what the ultimate truth of it is, but absolutely it would go without much thinking that someone who is following the jury bus, that is a very it's an extremely serious matter and will be reviewed.
Yeah, so really this is a problem because you have the media trying as hard as they can to out the jury members, to intimidate the jury members. Believe it or not, that's what this is about. That's what this is. That's what we were worried about over the past few days, is that the media has been doing their best to basically make sure that the jurors knew, if you vote the wrong way in this trial, then we are going to out your information. We are going to make sure that people go to your homes, that your livelihoods are ruined. And apparently there was jurors that were worried about this. It's literal textbook jury manipulation and trying to get them to come up with a verdict that you agree with by basically threatening them, by following their bus around, by trying to intimidate them in every way that you possibly can. This stuff is ridiculous, because what it does is that if this trial resulted in Kyle being charged, what we would have absolutely have seen is, and what the left would have known, is that their tactics, their scare tactics, work. And there was no way that we would allow for that to happen, that we should have allowed for that to happen. Because ultimately, if we lose the courts and we lose the juries, if we can't trust our borders, can't trust our elections, what else is there at that point? That's what we have to worry about in all this. That's what worries me. So back to the actual trial, like I said, the verdict has been issued at this point, and we obviously see that this is exactly what should have happened. If you've been following any of this, if you've looked at any of the evidence, if you've seen the original clip, by the way, there should have never even have been a trial. Why this was a trial in the first place is honestly beyond me, besides the fact that it's just liberal pressure. Really, that's all this is about. Because this kid, we have this on video. How many situations do we not have on video where somebody is enacting some kind of self-defense and it's really a he said, she said kind of situation? But in this, we have an actual video. We have HD footage. We saw exactly what took place that caused all of the uproar. And it's clear to anybody that knows how self-defense works that it doesn't work this way, that, or at least that you can't charge somebody for murder in this situation. You can't do it. That self-defense has always been a right to, that people have, that you have, that I have, that everyone has, and that you can't infringe upon that just because your feelings got hurt about what took place in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And that's what really all of this boils down to. The left does not want you to have the right to defend yourself. And that's why we were saying this isn't just a trial about Kyle Rittenhouse. This is a trial about yourself, your right to self-defense. Because ultimately, if you lose that, you have no ability to do anything. That at any given point in time, somebody's trying to hurt somebody in your family, robbing your house, whatever it is. If you shoot them in an act of self-defense, then you could be the one in court facing a murder trial. And that's crazy. That's absolutely insane. So this is obviously a good result. And you have to look at the people that are on Twitter and all of this. I mean, there was actually somebody that brought up a really great point about this whole entire trial. Even the most liberal parents, if they saw their son in the situation that Kyle Rittenhouse was in at that point in time, they would have all said, use your gun. Every single one of them. I don't know why we're pretending that this is some left versus right issue. Guys, the right is on the side of what's constitutional. And the left is on the side of saying you have no constitutional rights. These riots that took place at that time would have killed Kyle Rittenhouse if he didn't do what he did. And I don't understand why people are so confused about this. For some reason, we're pretending as if this is just some kid that was just in some, you know, happy little neighborhood doing whatever and just happened to have an AR-15 on him. That's not what happened, okay? At all. He was there to literally help people, and he knew that it was dangerous there, and that gun was there for his protection. So when somebody, like these three crazy white people, by the way, that are trying to take his life away by shooting him and attacking him, which they inevitably would have done, by the way, then he needed to defend himself some way. How many of you remember David Dorn, the black officer that was guarding one of his friend's places of business during the whole riots there after George Floyd? And he was approached by just a mob of angry BLM supporters, shot, killed, left dead on the side of the road. That was caught on video too, by the way. Very hard video to watch. And you have that exact same situation where you have to wonder, what if David Dorn had the ability to defend himself or was able to before it actually happened? Obviously, I'm assuming he wasn't expecting them to do that. He's probably really nice and trying to keep, hey guys, calm down or whatever, and then look at what happened to him. That's exactly what would have happened to Kyle Rittenhouse had he not have retaliated and defended himself. So we can't ignore these things any longer. The left is literally trying to take away your constitutional rights. And by the way, remember, these aren't rights that are just provided by some government, because the left doesn't get it. They never do. They want to keep adding little rights on top of rights on top of rights. Listen, the right to self-defense is not a right that the United States has the ability to tell you whether you have it or not. That is a right, a fundamental right from God. You or anyone else cannot get rid of that for someone else. So in this situation where you have this taking place, it is clear and obvious that the right to self-defense was practiced, and that's what the outcome was, which is a good thing. We obviously should be happy about that in its entirety. So kind of going over to a little bit of some more of the information that's going on in this situation, you have them talking a lot about the rioters that were there that were bearing weapons. And then remember, he shot three men that night. This was August 25th, 2020. It's kind of hard to remember all this because it was a long time ago for, in the sake of at least political news. But remember, all of them were white. And I'm trying to, and I want you to keep this in mind, okay? That all of the people that he was charged with injuring or shooting were white people. Not one of them was black, Hispanic, or anything else, okay? So, so what we have to look at here, and this is the funniest part of all of this, is let's go over to liberal Twitter for a second and look at what they've got to say. Oh, wait, look at that. White privilege is trending on Twitter right now. So if you actually are checking this out here, you have all of these ridiculous posts where people think they know what they're talking about when it comes down to this trial, when they have absolutely no idea what was going on. There was actually a meme that I was trying to find, and here it is. Okay, so this guy on here says Kyle Rittenhouse is a juvenile, and he's being tried for murder at 17, while this black guy, Khalif Bowder, went to Rikers Island at 16 for 3.5 years for stealing a backpack. And now, here's the thing. I don't know anything about this particular situation with this guy. I haven't looked into it. I have no idea. But the thing is that you can already see the bias and how untruthful this meme is, because, first of all, you're literally saying and kind of assuming in this meme that Kyle Rittenhouse committed murder when you don't have any actual proof of that. First of all, had he not done what he did, Kyle Rittenhouse, he would be dead today, okay? We know that, okay? Well, all we have to do is look at the people that were actually there that were ready, right in his face, ready to shoot and kill him, beat him, who knows what else. Then we have to look at this guy, and they're saying, okay, well, he's in 3.5 jail for 3.5 years or whatever for stealing an apparent backpack. And I don't know why it says, and he's innocent, when you just admitted that he stole a backpack. That's still theft. And I'm assuming there probably was something else. What was it? Was it aggravated theft? Was it with another weapon or something like that? What was the context behind all of this? These memes don't make sense because they're just what? They're not truthful. None of this is actually adding up to make any sense. You haven't tried to compare the situation with Tamir Rice. Remember, that has nothing to do with this situation. Kyle Rittenhouse was practicing self-defense, okay? Tamir Rice was a kid that was waving around, and they're saying a fake toy gun. Listen, that gun looked exactly like a real gun. And regardless of the situation that you find about it, that has nothing to do with self-defense, okay? That has nothing to do with that, right? And first of all, this isn't even a good comparison because he was shot and killed by the officer on accident for what was going on. And so it doesn't make any sense about what they're talking about. They're just attributing all of this stuff to racism, because this is how the left thinks. When you look through all of these memes and everything that they're saying, every single one of them is trying to pin this on white privilege. Now, let me ask you another question, or let's look at it from another angle. What about the three people that he shot? Where was their white privilege? Oh, yeah, because the left doesn't have anything to say to that, do they? Those three guys or whatever got shot, two of them died because of what? The white privilege the left is talking about? Apparently not. Obviously, that's not what they're talking about, which is why they're very selective. That's how you debunk these people. Because every step of the way, they try to lie and get their little argument in, thinking for some reason that it makes sense, thinking that for some reason that Kyle Rittenhouse's situation with self-defense was somehow the same as a kid getting shot by the police or something like that on accident. How does that make sense? How does that make sense? Kyle Rittenhouse didn't shoot anybody or injure anybody or kill anybody that was black at all. So you're going to see the left try so hard right now to try and make it seem as if he had all of this privilege, and that's what this is all about. This whole race thing. We're going to make this whole thing about race. Meanwhile, they really had no leg to stand on when the only people that were shot were white, when this has nothing really at all to do with black people. Remember, by the way, Kyle Rittenhouse would have never been in this situation if he didn't have Jacob Blake being an idiot around the cops. So let's not forget that, because that's an actual important fact of all of this. So the liberals are trying their hardest to cover this up. They're trying their hardest to try and make this seem as if the situation would have been so different if he was black. Okay, sure. Sure. Okay. We're going to ignore it, by the way, that whole trial with George Floyd. Well, where Derek Chauvin got tried for all accounts of those ridiculous charges that didn't add up, by the way, either. But, oh yeah, white privilege. Listen, you just want to call it when you want to call it. At the end of the day, this is self-defense. You don't have to like it. Listen, self-defense isn't pretty. You know, it's not this perfect package wrapped in niceties. What it is real. When your life is under threat, when people are ready to kill you or are trying to kill you, you have a God-given right. I don't care what these liberals say. It doesn't matter. I don't want to hear this is democracy. No, this is your God-given right to self-defense. So no matter what they tell you, what they decide to lie about, it does not matter. They're simply lying. They're just mad. They're mad that you have a God-given right to do that. That's what they're so upset about. So they have to resort to these ridiculous comparisons that don't make any sense whatsoever. So just that's pretty much all there is for this exact story here. And I think that it really speaks to the fact that, hey, this is America, right? Where we have these God-given rights protected by the government. Remember, it's the government's job to protect these God-given rights. And we saw that on display today. So it is a good thing that we were able to see that in action, that people should be able to do this. And this is a day that we can be proud to be an American, proud to be covered by these rights that make sense. But another trial that actually didn't go so well for the person involved in it was earlier, just a couple of days ago, involving the QAnon shaman. Many of you remember this guy. He was really the face of January 6th for the left. I mean, anytime they were referencing January 6th, it was that guy that was wearing the kind of the red and the blue paint split across his face with the big headdress on and everything. That's the guy that they were trying to kind of pin the hardest. And we knew it was going to be pretty bad for him anyways. Now, apparently he had actually pleaded guilty to one felony charge, but it was simply for obstruction of an official hearing. But that was in the middle of that. They had to cut that out. So pretty, you know, minor if you think about it. I mean, that's not really a massive charge at all, but whatever. So he was, like I said, he was 34 years old. The guy's name was actually Jacob Chansley. Remember, he didn't cause any violence. He didn't do anything else that we're aware of. He just simply walked in the building. By the way, this video showing this guy yucking it up with police officers. I mean, the officers couldn't be more kind to him when he was in the building, in the chamber. So I don't understand what they're really trying to pin him for. I mean, at the end of the day, a lot of the cops were just letting this guy in, do whatever he wanted to do. But on Wednesday, he was actually sentenced to 41 months in prison. By the way, he was already in prison for almost a year, 10 months actually, in solitary confinement. So really he served 3 years because they just had him waiting. And he's not the only guy. But apparently they had originally charged him with 6 counts, but 5 charges were dismissed in a deal with the federal prosecutors according to the court documents. So remember, he's not the only one that's involved in this. There are plenty of other political prisoners that are literally being held right now that have been held for 10 months this whole time in jail, awaiting their court date. And then they get charged with something, and then they had to be in jail even longer. That's insane. Absolutely insane. So obviously, once again, left-wing people, where's the white privilege for this guy, okay? I mean, come on. Where is it at? Because so many of you sat there and pretended as if that exists for the whole Kyle Rittenhouse situation, but you'll write it off the second somebody else that's white gets charged. It's absolute hypocrisy, and here it is directly on display. So to shift stories for a little bit, there's actually another report about California teachers urging kids to, or trying to actually recruit them into LGBT groups and clubs. So this is a kind of a new story along the lines, and this is all dealing with this new situation where a lot of teachers are trying their hardest to actually get a bunch of kids involved in the LGBTQ movement. So this report actually came out from the author, Abigail Schreier. This is the one that actually wrote that book, Irreversible Damage, that I've referred to on this show several times, that really outs a lot of this stuff. Like I said, if you're interested in any of this stuff dealing with the transsexual movement affecting specifically young girls, definitely read that book. Very good. So she's talks about this issue. So apparently in late October, there was a meeting at a conference of California's largest teachers union, the California Teachers Association. So the documents show that teachers were encouraged to recruit students into LGBT clubs, urging them to have the courage to create a self-environment that fosters bravery to explore sexual orientation. So one teacher reportedly in the meeting said, "We're going to do just a little mind trick on our sixth graders." So she said the speakers went so far as to tout their surveillance of students, Google searches, internet activity, and hallway conversations in order to target sixth graders for personal invitations to LGBTQ clubs, while actively concealing these clubs' membership from their parents. So what you've seen here, and it goes with the actual citations of different stories, but really the takeaway from all of this is, I told you so. You have these teachers that are directly involved in trying to cover up these situations from the parents. They're not letting them know, and then they're trying to coax these students into joining these clubs. So they're listening to their stuff, they're tracking their internet, they're doing all of this, all of the other things to basically invade their privacy, and then telling them, hey, you might want to join this club that's going to basically encourage you to explore yourself more. And then we wonder why there's an epidemic of students that are being trans, that typically when there's one trans student, if they have several friends, they all tend to be some kind of different identification of whatever it is, or have some other type of weird pronouns. It's all them trying to really caving to peer pressure of the people that are around them. And then now we're seeing that the teachers are encouraging this behavior, but not just being open to it. What they're doing is encouraging it. So if your child's in a public school and maybe they're talking to some other person that's gay, they might say, hey, you know, why don't you join this club too? And we can, you know, talk about our feelings and start, you know, doing this stuff where we are trying to explore our sexuality. And then before you know it, boom, now they're identifying as something weird and you're wondering what happened. And they're covering this up from the parents. They're not telling the parents, like I reported on the last show or the one before that. You have them literally calling their own students a different name, oftentimes using different pronouns, but they won't change it on the documents that go home. They won't tell the parents about any of that stuff. So your child could be going to gay as a woman or going to school as a woman, but they won't tell you what's happening. They won't tell you that they're maybe changing clothes into a dress when they get to school because the school is complicit in the behavior. We've even seen colleges go as far as basically offering sex transitions to students for free at the school. So it's so out there, so readily available that it's clear to see. But ultimately, it's the left targeting students, targeting kids. That's what they want. They understand that by getting the young people, they get the next generation. And that's what we need to stop as hard as we can, as possibly can, because ultimately we don't want them getting a hold of that at all. So this next story is actually about this teacher that I reported on, one of the TikTok liberals, I think it was, or something like that. But it's this this professor at the school that literally wrote a book trying to normalize pedophilia. And it gets so crazy. So this is that, like I said, the professor, she worked at Old Dominion University. And she was basically trying to advocate for these people that are pedophiles by calling them minor attracted people or persons or something like that. So in the video, we already saw that she's talking about all of this stuff and basically just going on about how she should how they should basically be destigmatized and accepted. Right. Well, apparently she's actually been put on leave. So apparently the university released a statement saying Old Dominion University has placed Dr. Alan Walker on administrative leave, effective immediately, from their position as assistant professor of sociology and criminal justice. So this is, again, a situation where why is it that we have to wait till the mob kind of comes out and exposes this lady, or really, I'm saying lady, I think it's actually a man, I'm not sure, but this dude, whoever it is, I don't know what they are, but because I think they're actually transgender themselves, so I'll say it's a dude, because I think that's what it is. Why does it take all of these people coming out to expose this guy when in reality, we know that the university probably was aware of that. I'm assuming they probably listed it in their credentials. Maybe it's on their resume, something. But the university waits till it gets too much for them to handle, until they really get exposed about it. Then all of a sudden, they're willing to get rid of these people. She's not the only person that's working at these schools, at these universities. There's plenty of other people that are doing this. And this guy is one of them as well. So, actually, he released a statement saying, "I want to be clear. Child sexual abuse is morally wrong and an inexcusable crime. As an assistant professor of sociology and criminal justice, the goal of my research is to prevent crime. My work is informed by my past experience and advocacy as a social worker counseling victims. I embarked on this research in hopes of gaining understanding of a group that previously has not been studied in order to identify ways to protect children." That's not true. How are you protecting children by basically trying to get rid of the title pedophile? You're doing it because you are trying to advocate for not the children, but for the people that are typically abusing children. I mean, they're on, typically these pedophiles are on a list that people can find that are publicly available. So you can see the people that are in your community or in your neighborhood that are charged with these crimes, because it's important to protect your children. That's not what this person is doing. They're not trying to prevent or to try and make sure that those things are in place still. What they're doing is trying to say, you know what, let's change the language here and make it so that we can accept them into our group. I'm telling you right now, people are acting like the lefties are acting like these people don't exist, but they do exist. They're right there. We're looking at them right now. And they're just standing back saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, people don't really advocate for that stuff. Of course they don't. This is living proof that that's not true. And it's obvious. I don't understand why it is that we have these people that are in our societies, in our universities. And this isn't the only person that's done this, alluded to this type of behavior or talked about it. But this is not about the children, and they're absolutely lying. The fact is that they are basically trying to make it seem as if they can't help themselves do what they're doing, and as a result, we must accept them instead. We've actually seen Democrats do this in different ways, even with criminals. I mean, a lot of the Democrat-run states, that's what they do. They actually allow for criminals to get out of prison very early. They release them for whatever reason, for loose reasons, it doesn't matter. There are also ones that are very lenient on crime as well. And then they wonder why their communities are terrible. They're run down. You have so much crime happening in these cities, not only because they don't want to fund the police, they don't want to actually arrest anybody either. And as a result, they wonder what's happening. There was another report from a while ago where I think it was a sheriff in a certain county. I can't remember the exact one, but he was actually trying to change the name of the inmates to like, I don't know, residents or something, like forced residents or something ridiculous, to try and once again make it seem as if being a criminal is not being a criminal. And it is. They're all about trying to get rid of it and say, well, they can't help themselves that they're committing so many crimes. Those black people don't know any better. Let's just, you know, not enforce it and maybe the problem will fix itself. Same thing with this. Let's not bother trying to stigmatize these people that are sex offenders, these pedophiles. No, we need to accept them. You know, let's just make it not so offensive to them that we're talking about this. I don't think anybody cares what's offensive to a pedophile. And all of this, by the way, in the lead up of, or in the midst of this case where, I don't know if it's the Gage guy, I can't remember, but one of the people that Kyle Rittenhouse actually killed was a registered pedophile. 11 counts, by the way, of sexually assaulting a minor. And this is what's happening right now. So this is preventing crime. You want us to call them some other name so they don't get offended? Yeah, I'm not going to fall for any of that stuff. It's absolutely ridiculous. But with that being said, that's all I have for you on this show. I thank you for watching or listening to this one. Like I said, I wanted to hold it back a little bit, push it off, because I knew that the Kyle Rittenhouse trial would be coming to a close most likely by the end of this weekend. And sure enough, I was right about that. So tell me what you think about the actual trial, your opinion of what is going on with all of this. I'm curious to see what you guys have to say about it. It is an interesting one, and I think it's a good day. It's at least a proud day to be an American for all of us, to see that we still have our rights to some degree. So make sure you comment, like, let me know what you think about that. But if you are listening to this, by the way, on Apple Podcasts, please remember to leave a review, as it does help the show out. But with that being said, I thank you for watching, and I'll see you on the next one.